But first this hour, a pair of elections tops the list of significant international stories this week. With me for our weekly look at some of them is the BBC's Rich Preston. And Rich, let's start in Afghanistan, where the current president's term is due to expire on Wednesday. So who'll be replacing him?
Well, Mark, we don't actually know because they haven't held the election yet. The constitution says the vote should be held 60 days before the end of the current president's term, but it's been delayed. That means the current president, Ashraf Ghani, will stay on until that vote is held, and he's got the permission of the Supreme Court to do that. Now, as you'd imagine, his political opposition are not happy with this. There's even been a threat of nationwide protests unless an alternative solution is agreed.
Rich, given Afghanistan's recent history, are delays in elections there unusual?
Well, no, they're not really. But the main thing with this is the critics say that the president shouldn't simply be able to stay in office while waiting for the election, especially when it's an election in which he's a candidate. They say they'd be happy for him to stay on, but only if he withdraws from the race. As it stands now, they fear he can just keep postponing the vote and stay in power indefinitely. And Mark, this all comes amid ongoing talks between the US and the Taliban. And those are talks which do not involve the Afghan government. So those talks, along with this president staying in office without an electoral mandate, mean that some Afghans fear that their hard-won democracy is at risk.
All right, Rich, let's move to an election that actually did happen in India. On Thursday, we're expecting results of the general election there. We talked about this when voting got underway, but that was weeks ago. So what's been happening since?
Yeah, voting started on the 11th of April. It is an absolutely massive undertaking, Mark. India is the world's largest democracy, 900 million eligible voters there. So voting happens over seven stages across the country, and that's pretty much to allow for adequate security measures to be put in place while people go to the polls. So it's obviously been a complex operation and not one without controversy. One candidate for the governing BJP party called the assassin who killed Gandhi a patriot. She later apologised, but her comments brought out a communal hostility that's been present throughout the campaign.
Why would someone say Gandhi's killer was a patriot?
Well, it's a common complaint made by Hindu hardliners that Gandhi was too accommodating to religious minorities and that when British colonial rule came to an end, it was Gandhi who allowed the partition of India into India and the majority Muslim country of Pakistan. But this comment is really representative, Mark, of the kind of language present throughout the campaign. Another leading politician promised a rally that he would work to rid the country of unauthorised migrants, except for Buddhists, Hindus and Sikhs. Now, there was outrage from people who said he was effectively labelling India's huge Muslim minority as a group of unauthorised migrants. Exit polls out today suggest that the governing BJP party are on track to win a second term in this election. The opposition have already rejected those exit polls. We'll start to get official results on Thursday morning.
All right, Rich. Finally, in Kenya, in East Africa, there's a possible ruling on the country's laws against homosexual activities?
Yes, this law is a remnant from British colonial rule. Homosexual acts are illegal in Kenya, punishable by 14 years in jail. But LGBT activists have petitioned to repeal that law. They say that because of the law, if someone is attacked, discriminated against, or even blackmailed because of their sexuality, they'd be unable to turn to the justice system for help, because in doing so, they would be outing themselves as criminals. The Constitutional Court, Kenya's highest court, is expected to rule on that petition on Friday.
And Rich, this comes as a Kenyan movie about a lesbian relationship is getting a lot of attention, right?
Yes, the film Rafiki, which was banned in Kenya because the censor said it presented an overly positive portrayal of life for lesbian, gay and bisexual people in the country. The film was the first from Kenya to be screened at the Cannes Film Festival, but the director said she'd rather the film was seen by the Kenyans who need to see it rather than people abroad.
All right, that's the BBC's Rich Preston. Rich, as always, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.